Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are continuing in the first parak of Maseches Shkalim. Today we are learning parak Aleph Mishnah Beis and parak Aleph Mishnah Gimel. The previous Mishnah, parak Aleph Mishnah Aleph of Maseches Shkalim, taught us that on the first day of Adar, the people were instructed to inspect their fields for any kelayim that had begun to sprout and to uproot them over the course of the next 2 weeks. Now the messengers of the Beis Din would then go out on the 15th of Adar in order to make sure that this had been done. The Mishnah here in Parak Aleph, Mishnah Beis, is going to explain what the messengers would do if they did in fact find Kilayim still growing in the fields. Says the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, Barishona hayu okrin umashlichin lifneihem. Originally, the messengers of the court would uproot the kelayim that they found growing in the fields, and they would throw them down in front of the fields of those that were growing them, in order to embarrass them for having violated the prohibition of kelayim by not uprooting the kelayim that they were supposed to get rid of. Now, the Chachamim hoped that this embarrassment would help prevent the owners from doing this again in the future, and this would hopefully stop them from doing this. However, says the Mishnah, Misha Rabu Ovrei Aveira, when the number of those sinning who were not embarrassed by this procedure of throwing down the plants in front of their properties, and they did not uproot their kelayim as they were supposed to, Hayu Okrin Umashlichin Al Hadrachin, the court's messengers would uproot the kelayim and throw them down onto the roads, so that the owners could not use the kelayim in order to feed their animal. They were hoping that this would cause them to uproot the kelayim before the 15th of Adar in order to prevent the messengers from finding them and throwing them away. However, this also did not work. Finishing off the Mishnah, Hiskinu Shihu Mafkirin Kol Asada Kula. The Chachamim then instituted that the messenger should declare the entire field ownerless if the kelayim is still found there. This served certainly to convince the owners to uproot their kelayim so that they should not lose their entire field and all of their crops. Continuing now with Parak Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. And now we're going to return to the main subject of the Masechta, namely the topic of Shkalim, and we're going to discuss the process of collecting Shkalim as the month of Adar continues to go on. It says the Mishnah, B'chamisha Sarbo Shulchanos Hayu Yoshvin B'Medina, on the 15th of Adar, there would be money changers who would begin to sit in Yerushalayim, so that people from foreign places, they wouldn't all have a shekel, they need to exchange some money, to be able to come to Yerushalayim to exchange their money, to have these money changers there for them to use. Continuing in the Mishnah, Be'ezrim v'chamisha Yashua Mikdash, but now that we have, as Adar continues to go, as the due date for the Shkalim begins to draw near, now it's the 25th day of Adar, the money changers then began to move from Yerushalayim, and they would sit in the Beis HaMikdash area in order to remind the people to hurry up and to bring their Shkalim. Misha Yashvu v'Mikdash Hischilu LaMishkan, LaMashkein. And says the Mishnah, from when the money changers began sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning from the 25th of Adar, the officials of Beis Din began to actually seize people's property, remove people's property who did not bring in their shkalim at the appropriate time in order to force them to give their shkalim. Now, who exactly did they force? Asks the Mishnah, Es mi mimashkinin. From who did the officials of the court seize property if they did not give the shkalim willingly? Levim v'Yisraelim, certainly any Levim or Yisraelim who did not Kohanim, as we're going to see at the end of the Mishnah, Yerim v'avadim mishuchrarim, from converts to Judaism and from freed slaves who are treated as converts, all of these people are obligated to give shkalim. They have not done so. We're going to therefore seize their property until they give the half shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. Avolza is the Mishnah, but lo nashim v'avadim uketanim, but they did not take property from women, from non-Jewish slaves, who again, they have certain mitzvah obligations, but giving half a shekel is not one of them, and people that are young. Now, what? No, usually in the Mishnah, Ketanim refers to girls under 12, to boys under 13, bar bas mitzvah, but here it specifically refers to anyone under the age of 20, because the obligation of machatz shekel only begins when a person reaches the age of 20, not bar or bat mitzvah. And because the women, people under 20, and the slaves are not obligated to give shekels, we're not going to force them certainly seize their property until they do so. One more halacha as it pertains to children, called katan shehiskel aviv lishkel al yado. In the case of anyone under 20 whose father, though not obligated to do so, began to contribute a shekel or half shekel really on his son's behalf, shoveino posik, the father should not stop doing so, should not stop contributing for his son, due to gezeira midrabanan, that since the father gave the shekel in order to educate his son in the mitzvah, he must continue to do so until his son turns 20 and becomes obligated to do it himself. Finishing off the Mishnah, we're going to go back to what we said earlier, that Kohanim are not going to be forced by property. We're not going to seize their property if they don't give the half a shekel. Vein memashkinin es Kohanim, we do not seize the property from Kohanim, even though they are obligated to give half a shekel. Says the Mishnah, why not? Because this preserves a peace that the Gemara is describing in Maseches Gittin and other places. There's certain things that we're going to do in order to preserve peace. And at the end of the day, as the Bar Tanura points out, Kohanim deserve a certain level of kavod, since they're actually the ones doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Forcing them to pay their shekel would cause them to react resentfully and angrily against being treated in this way, and therefore we're not going to do that for the Kohanim. Quick review, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis taught us that initially, when the messengers of the Beis and of the court would go around, they would take people's, that they found kilayim in a person's field, they would take their kilayim, throw them right in front of their field to embarrass them and show them you really shouldn't be doing this. But then, as the Mishnah says, there were many people that would continue to do it. The number of sinners when it came to kilayim were increasing, and therefore the court's messengers at that point would uproot the kilayim and throw them onto the roads to make it literally complete garbage, so that their animals would not benefit from eating them. And then they continued to do it. So ultimately, what the Beis Din did was they literally were mafkir. They made their entire field ownerless, and certainly that's going to discourage people from having kilayim. If all of their fruit and produce and crops are going to be ownerless, then certainly they're going to avoid doing kilayim. And then Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel taught us that on the 15th of Adar, the money changers begin to sit in Yerushalayim for people that needed to exchange money for the mitzvah of Machas HaShekel. But then on the 25th of Adar, they would begin to move to the Beis HaMikdash area, where they would again remind people, now you got to exchange, it's coming up very soon. The deadline for Shekel is almost done. And then Mishnah described that from the 25th of Adar, when the money changers began sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, that's also when the officials of the Beis Din, if you didn't yet give the half shekel, they would start to seize property, take collateral from people who had not yet given the shekel, or the half shekel, to the Beis HaMikdash. And who exactly would the courts seize property from? So from Levim, from Yisraelim, from converts, from freed slaves, really anyone required in half a shekel, they would confiscate their property, but not women, not slaves, and not anyone under 20 years old, because they're not required, and therefore we're not going to seize their property from them if they haven't done it. Then the Mishnah said that anyone whose father begins to give a half a shekel on his behalf should continue to do so, should not stop from doing so, even though you're not required to give a half a shekel until you're 20. Once the father starts, he should not stop. And then the Mishnah concluded by telling us that we do not seize property from Kohanim, even though they are required to give a half a shekel. But at the end of the day, they're doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't want to make them resentful and angry, and therefore they still need to give half a shekel, but we're not going to seize their property from them. Have a great day.